to fill me heading into preaching. Thanks be to God. God, thank you for your living word. Thank you for your presence, your Holy Spirit. And we can't understand your word fully, and I can't preach your word without your Holy Spirit. Send your Holy Spirit upon us in new and fresh and powerful ways. We pray this in your name. Amen. Crab apples are beginning to drop from the trees on the south side of our lawn in an amazing variety, adding a distinct crunchiness to lawn mowing and drawing in an itinerant population of bees that are drawn to its sweetness. And adding a very tempting but unhealthy addition to our new puppy's diet. Our crab trees are abounding with more and more fruit. Do you have fruit-bearing trees in your yard that are beginning to drop? Or do you have a garden that is beginning to pop with the harvest time autumn bounty? Or do you have a harvest of flowers like zinnias and mums at this time of year that are so distinctly beautiful? Well, it's a whole different array of things right now. And farmers markets and grocery stores have bins that are overflowing with fall fruits right now, the fruit of the earth. And it's a reminder, isn't it, about how much is produced, how much grows season by season in all these distinct varieties of the fruits of the earth with their different tastes and size and textures and colors. What a gift fruitfulness is. And I love the fact that in God's word we find fruitfulness as applied to our lives as well, not just the natural world around us, but our lives as well. That this is part of God's intention for us, to be fruitful in an ongoing way. And we are fruitful by way of closeness to Him. That's key. Closeness to Him is where fruitfulness comes from. For instance, at the beginning of the Hebrew prayer book, the collection of Psalms, 150 Psalms, the very first psalm is about this very thing. Blessed are those who delight in the law of the Lord and meditate on His law day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in season, and their leaves don't wither. As the first of 150 psalms, Psalm 1 basically sets the course. We are to be fruitful. We are to live close to Him and to His word. And He and His word bears fruit in us. Our leaves don't wither. Jesus spoke about this too, about living fruitful lives close to Him. To fill out this metaphor of fruitfulness, about what it is to be fruitful in life, here are a few other words that fit, synonyms to the word fruitful. Productive, worthwhile, well spent, flourishing. Now, who among us doesn't want to have a life like this, that is productive, worthwhile, well spent, and flourishing? This one life here we're given to live. So here's some of what Jesus said. Turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 15, and I'll read verses 5 through 12. Jesus said, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now, remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in His love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Let me read that again. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I want to lift up two brief phrases from what I just read, part of verse 5 and then from 11 and 12. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Two primary fruits, two foundational front-end things that grow in our lives like pumpkins on a vine, like apples on a tree, are what? What did you just hear? Love and joy. Love and joy. In what we just heard from Jesus, there's a lot that will grow in our lives. He will grow in abundance in our lives. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear a lot of fruit. A lot of things will grow. And primary in this growth are these two things: love and joy. And so it fits that in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23, where the Apostle Paul gives a list of this promised fruit that will grow in our lives by way of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. Number one and number two are love and joy. Listen to what Paul wrote. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It all begins with love and with joy. Last Sunday, I spoke about love, not so much a hearts on pillows romantic type of love or a generic sort of love like I love football or I love hanging out with friends. That's a different use of the word love. Instead, I talked about biblical love. The Greek word for this is agape love. Agape love, the self-sacrificing, generously given away love that Jesus lived and taught and exemplified by going to the cross for us. That kind of love. I talked about the spending yourself down kind of love that Paul wrote about. Like what we heard about a few minutes ago from Romans 12, where he writes, love must be sincere. Be devoted to one another in love. Give yourselves away in love. It's the love that Jesus spoke about when he was asked by a Pharisee, what is the most important commandment to live by? And Jesus replied with two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Everything hinges on these. Love, agape love. Giving ourselves away for the benefit of God and others, not counting the cost, not keeping a list, not sniffing around for praise, or leveraging a sort of, I'll do this for you and then you do that for me. It's not that type of love. It's sincerely and generously given away. This is what we are called into as followers of Jesus Christ. But along with being called into this, like being given a really hard assignment in life that we will never really reach, thankfully, by the grace of God through Jesus Christ, by his generous love poured out on us, we are given a gift to help us live this way, a gift to grow us in these ways. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit, who Jesus promised would come upon us and in us, who would set up shop in our lives as we give our lives over to him. He comes. The Holy Spirit comes. As we say, yes, Lord Jesus, yes. Use my life. Take my life for your purposes. Using the image of Jesus and or the image that he gives of the vine and the branches, the garden and the gardener, we say yes. Yes, come and prune my life. Trim away the dead branches that are doing nothing but drawing away life. Prune these, trim these. Yes, come and dig around in the soil of my life and uproot that which doesn't belong. Come, come and fertilize my life. Grow me fruitful in ways that only you can. And as we move in this direction, saying, yes, come. And letting go of our own agendas. Seeking in the midst of everything else going on in our lives, seeking to live like that tree in Psalm 1. Planted by streams of living water, meditating on His law day and night. There comes this other fruit, joy. Kara is the New Testament word, the Greek word. Kara, joy. So here's the question that I've been working with in preparation for today. Well, what really is joy? Other than saying, well, joy is deeper or richer than happiness, which is a really common response to that question. What is joy? How do you define it? Marilyn, you were very helpful in this today. But how do all of you understand joy? I think in part it's one of those things where you know it when you have it. You know it when it's present, and you know it when it's not. But it's hard to wrap words around what exactly it is. Something that I've found helpful in getting my hands around what joy is that it is connected to freedom. Joy is connected to freedom. Given as a gift to us by God through the Holy Spirit and modeled for us by Jesus Christ, joy carries with it a freedom from being hooked by circumstances. Happiness has very much to do with our circumstances, with what's going on around us. But joy isn't. Joy is not dependent on that. It helps when things are going well, of course. It helps when we are free from, say, chronic pain. It helps when we are not in a load of trouble. Those help with a sense of joy, but they are not hinging on it. Joy comes up from the inside and then grows from the inside outside, just like fruit does. Like fruit connected to the vine, where the nutrients come from the vine out to the branches into the fruit, inside out. I want to tell you two things that one of our older members of the church told me regarding joy. Laura Bondos is a founding member of this church. Some of you who are newer to the church probably haven't had a chance to meet her or know her. She lives in Eagan, living in assisted living, and she's not been able to walk for about 10 years. She's got an electric wheelchair, and she needs people to assist her here and there throughout each day, every day. But despite all of that, Laura carries with her an enormous supply of joy. She has genuine freedom with joy, despite all these things. A couple months ago, when I was visiting her, I commented on this, saying something like, Laura, I am so grateful for the joy you have. Every time I talk with you, it just spills out. And she laughed, and she told me about a recent conversation she'd had over lunch where somebody at her lunch table said, how can you be so joyful? You can't even walk. And Laura said, my joy doesn't come from walking. It comes from Jesus. What a witness. What an amazing freedom from circumstance. Would I be like that if my legs were taken away? Would you? On my own, no way. But with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, with this fruit that He grows in us, I hope that I would grow that way. I hope all of us would. A second thing I want to share from Laura. I was with her this past week. And she brought up the topic of joy. And I said, it's amazing that you brought that up, because that is the theme for this coming Sunday. And I'm working on this sermon on joy. So, Laura, how would you define joy? And she said, oh, that's easy. Joy is a life filled with wonder. Joy is a life filled with wonder. And I thought, yes, exactly. It is a life of being surprised with awe, anticipating more things to come. You could say it's a life of being poised toward the more. Looking forward to, anticipating, being poised toward more than what there is right now, including whatever troubles we carry, being poised toward the things beyond us, the things yet to come, the greater things that God has yet to do around us and in us. It's being poised toward more and filled with wonder. What a great definition of joy. And this brings to mind that beautiful benediction from Ephesians 3 that I often use at the close of worship, where Paul wrote, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses all knowledge. Wow, to be filled like that. A life of joy fused with love is a life of wonder. It's a life of paying attention to the gifts and beauty and possibilities all around us in every direction, things large and things small, on the bright days and on the dark days, with more yet to come, all coming as gifts from God who loves us and who sings over us, like we heard from Zephaniah. And there is immense freedom in that, isn't there? And in this life of joy, tightly tied to this is gratitude. Another component of joy. A life of thankfulness. Acknowledging that we're not doing this. That we're not creating our own joy. We're not crafting things that give us joy or hope or love. We can't generate any of this grasping of knowledge that surpasses all understanding. It all comes from the great giver of gifts. And we live in gratitude to Him. This is joy. A gift from the Holy Spirit that grows in us, producing in us, more in us, and growing more in us than what's being produced on our crab trees and apple trees and tomato vines. It's a gift from Him to grow in fruitfulness, productive, worthwhile, well-spent, flourishing lives filled with freedom and filled with thankfulness. So I'll close with this, and then a challenge. Anne Voskamp is an amazing writer and thinker and follower of Jesus. She puts so beautifully into words the deep truths of God. Sid directed me to Anne Voskamp's blog this week, where I read about joy, about holy joy, joy that's tied to thanks. And she wrote this, holy joy lies in the habit of murmuring thanks to God for the smallest of graces. Holy joy lies in the habit of murmuring thanks to God for the smallest of graces. That's on your prayer notes as well today. Pray in this direction, would you? Pray for holy joy to flourish in your life. To grow and to spread and to spill out toward others. It is so easy to live in the other direction. So tempting to complain, to be discontent, to focus on what we don't have and what people haven't done and what they aren't doing and how disappointed we are and how frustrated. And yeah, there are a lot of frustrations in life. It is so common and easy to hold on to those things that eat away at joy. Hurts, grudges, disappointments, anxious fears about the future, about finances, about health, and the list goes on. We know it. And all of that can simply cloud joy and love. All of that can bind us rather than free us. It bogs us down, slowing our feet and blurring our eyes from joy, from wonder, from freedom, from being poised toward more. More that God has yet to do and more that God has yet to give. More that God has yet to show us. Pray for holy joy. Pray for holy joy. To live lives of deep, abiding gratitude, even when things are hard. Pray, yes, Jesus. Yes, Holy Spirit. Yes, come and dig around in me and do something new. Pray that by His power at work in you, in us, that we will be carriers of joy. That joy will drop like ripe apples from trees out of our lives. Through our words, through our looks, through our attitudes, through the posture we carry in life. And that the Holy Spirit will grace you more and more with this amazing, wonder-filled, freeing gift of joy. Let's pray. God, joy can be so elusive at times because we pin so much to happiness and to circumstances. Yet your joy gains deep anchorage when it grows as a gift from you. Grow this in us. Joy, thankfulness, love. Give us the words, give us the expressions, give us the posture in life to lean into this more and more. And fill us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.